At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
A warm up, Bobby. Welcome to Bobby Las Vegas for discussions with myself, Craigie Peterson, now part of the VSiN Family Podcast. We've got a great podcast for you guys. Joining me in segment number two, we are going to have Matt Joseph, better known as Mid-Major Matt Aboard. He's going to be chatting with us a little bit about what we're going to be getting in the Sweet 16, what he observed from the first two rounds of the NCAA tournament, and got to give a little bit of love to these teams out there in the CBI, NIT. So we're going to be taking a look at some of those smaller tournaments as well. Then in the final segment, going to get you guys picks and analysis on the five games that we got on the betting board for this College Basketball Monday as we hit some bank shots. If you do have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you do have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /X timeline at @unit_D1. Keep in mind, letters EM, naming does not matter. So as per usual, please do send these into the timeline. Other way, that is via an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast 5 stars, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review. Did not get in any Twitter /X questions today, but had a fun day of college basketball on Sunday. Let's take a look back at it, try to find some trends, and try to get to know these teams a little bit better.
Games from yesterday is Greg buzzing about. Here is the rowdy recap.
For those who enjoy upsets, this was not the round for you, as in the round of 32, we saw one team as an underdog win outright, and that would be Clemson, 72-64. They take down Baylor, a Baylor team all throughout the year was actually able to make you some nice coin. They wrap up the year going against the spread, a whopping 20-12-2 against the spread. But that said, Clemson, they did a very solid job with their defense as Baylor goes just 6 of 24 from three-point range. And this really doomed Baylor, 16 of 26 at the free throw. And Ray J. Dennis, Jacoby Walter, they combined for 47 out of the team's 64 points. Nobody else really helped them out. And for Clemson, they do lose a rebound battle 33-32, but what they did have was more balanced scoring. As Joe Girard, he was able to throw in their 13 points. Chase Hunter, he was really the guy that went into takeover mode. He was able to supply the team with 20 points in this one. So Clemson, they survive, they advance, and they are on to the Sweet 16. And also on to the Sweet 16, Alabama's Grand Canyon held to 61 points by an Alabama team that I don't know if they could guard their own shadow. 72-61, the final, as Grand Canyon just stopped running offense in this game. They were down 62-61 with 4:05 remaining, and they would not score the rest of the game. As for Grand Canyon, they go 23 of 37 at the free throw line, 2 of 20 from 3. If you like me at Grand Canyon, this one, just absolutely brutal. Tyon Grant Foster did all he could, 29 points, 8 boards, 3 blocks, 2 steals, and nobody else gave you north of 8 points for this team. Meanwhile, for Alabama, Mark Sears, 26 points, 12 boards, 6 assists, 3 steals, 5 of 11 from 3. The rest of Alabama went a whopping 3 of 20 from distance, so both of these teams were ice cold, but Alabama, they survive, they advance, they are on to the Sweet 16. Also on to the Sweet 16 is Marquette, but even though you only saw one underdog win outright, we did have a few covers, and our DK Network write-up of Colorado between 4.5 and 5 getting the points. That comes through, 81-77, the final as Colorado. They lose this game because they go just 10 of 30 from 3, while Marquette was able to go 9 of 21 from the outside, also for Marquette. Just 4 of 8 at the free throw line. Colorado, 5 of 7 at the charity stripe. He had 21 points, 11 assists out of Tyler Kolick, but also 6 turnovers. As for Colorado, KJ Simpson, 20 points, 7 assists, 5 rebounds. Did a nice job keeping Colorado very lively in that one. And for Purdue, this has been a very lively offense all season long. And now Purdue, 23 overs, 12 overs as far as the season. Doesn't quite compare to the 25 overs and 9 unders that we've gotten out of Alabama this season. But for Purdue, they absolutely romp Utah State. 106-67 for Utah State. They did go 9-27 from 3, and they committed just 8 turnovers, but talk about getting destroyed on the glass. They lose a rebound battle, 49-26. Giant of the Earth, Zach Edey, 23 points, 14 rebounds, and 27 minutes. Braden Smith did not look like he was 100% in this game, but they didn't need him to be. They only played him 22 minutes, 5 points, 6 assists. Relatively solid effort there. And then you had Cameron Heady coming in off the bench. He was able to give the team 10 points. Really good balanced effort in general from Purdue. They absolutely mopped the floor with Utah State. And Duke mopped the floor with James Madison. 93-55 the final. A James Madison team has been pretty profitable all season long. Has been pretty rock solid. But they just ran into a buzzsaw in this one. As Duke now 20-13-1 against the spread. And for Duke, they go 14 of 28 from three-point range. And for JMU, they go 19 of 50 from the floor. JMU loses a turnover battle, 14-6. They lose a rebound battle, 37-32. And for James McCann, 30 big points in this one for Duke. So Duke, they're able to win that game rather handily. This game got very, very hairy late. Houston, they need overtime to be a best Texas A&M as they very nearly blow a 9-point lead in the final. I believe it was about 55 or so seconds. 195. Houston gets it done in overtime. For Texas A&M, they've got nobody to blame but themselves for this loss. 29 out of 45 at the free throw line. Tyrese Radford, he had himself a game. 27 points, 15 rebounds, 6 assists. Went just 6 of 11 at the free throw line. And for Wade Taylor, he goes 8 of 9 at the free throw line, but 5 of 26 from the floor for 21 points. Meanwhile, Houston, they win the turnover battle 11-10. They actually get romped on the glass, 49-35. But Emmanuel Sharp, he was sharp in this game. 30 big points. Jamal Shedd, double-double, 21 points, 10 assists out of him. So Houston, they survive. They advance. First time since 2019, by the way, that we've got all 4-1 seats into the Sweet 16 as UConn. They take down Northwestern 75-58. Spread actually got closer than it probably should have. It was all UConn in this game all throughout. And UConn in this game, they were up by 20-plus points with less than 7 minutes remaining. And they actually got a lead of 30 at one point. But Northwestern, they gave you a relatively good effort if you bet them. Too bad, Boo Booey. He went just 2 of 15 from the floor. If he's able to be a little bit warmer, Northwestern is able to cover that number. And for UConn, I mean, they go 3 of 22 from 3. If you had the over in this game, man, you got to be sitting there thinking, how did I get such bad shooting variance? As for UConn, they win the turnover battle 8-7. Donovan Klingon, 14 points, 14 boards, 8 blocks in this game. So complete and utter domination on that front end. I'm doing this as the San Diego State versus Yale game is wrapping up. Right now, 79-52. The over is going to cash, and Yale is not going to be able to cover this game for San Diego State. With about 3:30 remaining in this one, they're 13 of 26 from three-point range. Darion Trammell, who's been relatively silent all season long, he's went for 4 threes. Jaden Ledee, 26 points, 9 boards as I record this. And for Yale, they've actually done a halfway decent job of being able to play even up on the turnovers, but currently losing the rebound battle by 13. Not a great look. And we also have some nice NIT action that's going down as well. Minnesota, they end the year against the spread as one of your best teams at all of college basketball, but failed to cover in 4 out of their last 5. They wrap up the year 25-9 against the spread as Indiana State gets them 76-64. For Minnesota, defense actually wasn't bad in this one. They go 8 of 30 from 3-point range. Indiana State does. Indiana State, though, was able to win the turnover battle 15-10. Even though Minnesota was able to win the rebound battle 36-29, you did have 16 points, 11 boards out of Jason Kent. So the Sycamores, they're able to survive. They're able to advance into the NIT. I believe that they are now going to the Elite Eight there in Indiana State, by the way. 21-13-1 against the spread. VCU has been a pretty rock-solid team in terms of cashing you unders all season long. And they played another one against South Florida. South Florida team that they've also been very good to the under. For South Florida, they're going to wrap up the season in in terms of their under rate being right around about 66 or so percent. 70 to 65 for VCU. They're able to get the job done, and they are able to do so, going 10 of 26 from three-point range. By the way, that under rate for South Florida, 20 unders to 13 overs, so more like 60.5% to the under. But for South Florida, they go just 4 of 20 from three-point range. Meanwhile, VCU, they're able to get balanced scoring. Nobody scored more than 14 points. That'd be Zeb Jackson, but four separate guys able to reach double figures. South Florida was able to win the rebound battle by kind of 38 to 33, but for VCU, they did a very solid job of being able to step up, knock down their free throws, 12 of 14 at the charity stripe, and they survive. They advance in the NIT, and South Florida wraps up a really good year, 21-9-3 against the spread. Wake Forest had been very good at home entering into the day on Sunday, but Georgia is able to get them as an underdog, 72-66 the final. Hunter Salas got ruled out of this game about, I would say, 90 minutes prior to the start of the game, and Wake Forest was 13-4-1 against the spread, but no more as Georgia, they go 14 of 27 from three-point range. Noah Thomason, along with Justin Hill, were able to combine for 40 points, and between the two of them, they go 8 of 15 from three-point range, while Wake Forest, a nice cold 3 of 22 from three-point range. They just got nothing off their bench whatsoever, a whopping 2 points off of their bench. Meanwhile, Georgia, they had 23 bench points, so that was impactful. This was also of impact. Utah, they are able to take down Iowa, get the win and cover by a count of 91-82. Shock, shock, surprise, surprise. Iowa was one of your best over teams in all of college basketball. 23 overs to 11 unders this season for Utah. They go 12 of 31 from three with Gabe Madsen going 7 of 15 from three. And then the triple-double from Davion Smith was big. 19 points, 10 boards, 10 assists. So Utah is able to survive in advance, and so does UNLV. UNLV takes down Boston College 79-70. The finalists, Boston College actually had this game even up at half. They actually had quite a bit of control of this game early on, but UNLV is able to wear them down. And we have the knock on the Mountain West for the NCAA tournament. But hey, the NIT is a different story, as UNLV now 22-10 against the spread thus far this season. As for UNLV, they go 8 of 17 from 3-point range. Yeah, Keelan Boone supplied the team with 19 points, 8 boards, 3 blocks. He goes 5 of 8 from 3-point range. And Quinton Post it all. He could in the post, 22 points, 9 rebounds, but not enough there. And then we had some CBI action as well, as you had a total that was set right around about 156.5 go way under. Cleveland State and Northern Colorado combined for 100 points. This total goes under by north of 55. 51-49. Cleveland State able to get the job done, as for Northern Colorado, they went 2 of 23 from 3, just 4 of 15 for Cleveland State. But Cleveland State wins the turnover battle, so they're able to find a way to get the job done. For Quinnipiac, this was a little bit of a rough go of it for them. They lose to Evansville. It's a pretty sizable favorite. This by a count of 64-63. Quinnipiac ends the year 18-14-1 against the spread. As for the Purple Aces, it was a little bit of a nip-and-tuck sort of game for them. But for Evansville, the guy that was able to take over this game, how about what you were able to get out of Kenny Strawbridge? 11 points, 5 boards. They were doing this without Ben Humericus, who I'm pretty sure we're not going to be seeing him at all moving forward. And for Quinnipiac, they were without a lot of their top flight pieces as well, but Savion Lewis, very good facilitator, had just 4 assists in this one. So that was a little bit rough for them. The Stags of Fairfield are able to get the job done by a count of 82-75 over Little Rock, as Fairfield has been just a very nice story in general. They canned their coach, Jay Young, prior to the start of the season, and they go 13 of 34 from 3, 19 of 24 at the charity stripe. As for Fairfield, you had 4 separate starters be able to give you at least 13 points in this one. And Alexis Yetna, who's been dealing with injury all season long, he's back out there on the floor for the team and for Montana. They survive in advance in overtime over Presbyterian. 82-79, the final for Presbyterian. You had Samaje Teal be able to supply the team with a nice productive day of 28 points. And for the Grizzlies, you had Aiden Moody be able to give you 34 points, go 6 of 9 from 3-point range. So I had a lot of fun on this college basketball Sunday. And if you're looking at what we've got in the last 7 days in college basketball, this encompasses all of the tournaments that we're seeing, NCAA tournament, NIT, what have you. 46 overs, 41 unders, and I believe that we have had one push along the way as well, so an overrate of about 53%. And favorites, they certainly have been dominating. 47-39-2 against the spread. That's a 54.5% hit rate, and we've been seeing it all season long. Favorites hitting at 50.7% for the campaign, 2,835, 2,757, and 100 against the spread. Meanwhile, overs hitting at a 51%. 21% clip for the season, 2,867 overs to 2,759 unders. So that's what we're seeing in college basketball right now, and that's what we all got on Sunday. Now let's take a look at the Sweet 16 and these smaller tournaments with our good friend Matt Joseph, a.k.a. Mid-Major Matt, next right here on Cusco Hoops with myself, Craig Peterson, now a part of the BC Family Podcast.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm gonna be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you gotta think, he's gonna guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's gonna guard.
He's gonna guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's gonna guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
lovely Las Vegas for Cuscus Hoops with myself, Greg Hoops Peterson, now part of the VEASAN Family Podcast. And it is always great to be joined by this man as Matt Josephs. You know him better as Mid-Major Matt. He does such a tremendous job taking a look at so many different things. He, much like myself, getting set for opening day in baseball, which that's just a few short days away. He's been doing sensational work when it comes to the great sport of college basketball as well, taking a look at so many different things. He makes it very easy to be followed on Twitter/X as just at Mid-Major Matt altogether. And Matt, always a pleasure, my friend. Thank you.
Yeah, always a pleasure to be on.
Always a pleasure to have you aboard. And first things first, just what did you make out of the round of 32 in the NCAA tournament being just so very favorite heavy, as we just could not get a lot of underdogs that came through in the round of 32. And as a result, we do have a lot of high-powered teams that are in the Sweet 16, but really not a lot of Cinderella stories.
We saw that college basketball this year was very top-heavy. And once again, you kind of see it with the teams that are still playing right now in the Sweet 16. The Cinderellas are nice, and I love the Cinderellas, love the mid-majors, but you know, eventually they start to fade away. And this is kind of another year where just the top of the sport is just so much better than the middle of the sport.
Yeah, it's been insane to be able to take a look at. And I do think that moving forward, we're going to get some really good games as a result. But in terms of Sweet 16 matchups that are set as we're doing this, we've got pretty much everything that is set except for the San Diego State versus Yale game, because that's one that didn't wrap up until about midnight Eastern time. But is there one or two in particular that you're taking a look at and it really catches your eye just on the outset?
The Gonzaga game is pretty interesting. I think people kind of expected the Zags to not make it. It's so crazy because there's so many haters for Gonzaga out there, and they just don't understand that even though they don't have any championships, like the consistency that the Zags have had, we're getting a rematch here with Purdue. And, you know, what is Gonzaga going to do with Zach Edey and things like that? It's always how you kind of go into that game against Purdue. What's your way that you're going to stop the massive center? And since these two teams have played each other already, that kind of gives us some interesting film. And then presumably, if we get Houston and Duke, how is Houston going to play against Duke? Looked really good against JMU, and Duke looked good for a chunk of the game against Vermont. But Houston is Houston. They're so much tougher. And the one thing that I've always said about Duke is they're kind of soft. So how will they do against Houston, who will make you work for every basket?
Yeah, I think that is going to be so interesting to take a look at as well. It's a Houston team that does such a great job with their defense, but in that game against Texas A&M, they were also able to rise up in terms of their offense as well. Joining me on the show, we got Matt Josephs, better known as Mid-Major Matt, joining me right here on Cuscus Hoops. And I'm so glad that you bring that up with Gonzaga, because how much value do you think there is just on perception / a lack of perception? Because you were just alluding to it. It's a Gonzaga team that I think in now like 7 or 8 straight tournaments, they made at least the Sweet 16. And you just mentioned it with people ragging on them not winning a national title, but the Big Ten and the Pac-12, their last title between the two conferences came in 2000. And I think that we like to hype up a lot of these bigger conferences, whereas with Gonzaga, because they don't have that title, a lot of people like to rag on them, which I really don't understand why.
Well, it's funny because this season, Gonzaga didn't win any of those games except for the Kentucky game. They didn't win any of those high profile games. And so they've kind of went under the radar. They didn't even win the WCC. So I think a lot of people looked at Gonzaga. They're like, oh, well, how good could they be? They lost to St. Mary's in the championship game. And obviously McNeese State was that it team when it came to the 12s. It was them and James Madison, JMU winning, McNeese State losing. But like, I feel like a lot of people didn't have Gonzaga getting here. It's ironic because if you had Kansas moving on, you felt Gonzaga had a better chance against Kansas without McCullough than they did against McNeese State. Now they're playing Purdue. And if you go back to that game in the Stan Sheriff Center way back in November, Gonzaga had a 9-point lead in the first half. And then things kind of fell apart in that first part of the second half when they were outscored 22-10. So they had some things going a little bit. It's just that towards the end, it kind of fell off a little bit. Now you're giving Mark Few a little extra time to prepare for this game. And I'll take Mark Few over Matt Painter in almost any situation.
Yeah, Mark Few has done an absolutely tremendous job of coaching up this team year in and year out. And he always finds a way to be able to get these guys firing all cylinders as well. And I feel like that game against Kentucky was really a nice little spark for this team, because prior to that win, we were talking about this team potentially being on the bubble, and here they are back in the Sweet 16. So that's certainly something to take a look at. And here's something else to take a look at. We don't have any line with regards to this game, and it is going to be one that we're going to be seeing on Tuesday and not Monday. But I know you've been a big stand for the Indiana State Sycamores. They make the NIT rather than the NCAA tournament, which they could have provided a better effort than Virginia. That's a discussion for another show on another day. But that said, are you taking a look at the NIT and potentially just being able to take a look at some of these teams like Indiana State for a little bit of value?
Yeah, because once you get past the first game, motivation kind of stays there. Because once you make the tournament and it wears off that you didn't make the big tournament, then you kind of want to go and win the championship. And Indiana State's played really well. I mean, they got Minnesota at home. They won that first game against SMU, scoring over 100 points. And I think they're fine. And you know what? There's the talk about Josh Schertz. Maybe he's going to go to St. Louis. Maybe he's going to go somewhere else. But it seems like his team is really focused right now. Cincinnati's going to be interesting. I mean, Cincinnati took care of business against a couple of solid mid-majors in San Francisco and Bradley. I'll be interested to see what this line is, because if it gets a little bit too high, I'll probably be on Cincinnati plus the points. I think Indiana State wins this game. The Holman Center has been a tremendous atmosphere so far this season. It's just, will they be able to run their offense and run everything so crisply against a Cincinnati team that wants to slow things down and kind of make you work for every basket, much like Houston?
Yep, and a big key for Indiana State, just being able to have Robbie Avila do a solid job on the glass as well. Cincinnati, not such a great offensive team, but a team that they do a nice job of being able to hit the boards with so many guys like Aziz Mandango, though they've been dealing with the injury to Victor Lekeen as well. So I think that that's going to be very key for them. And just what have you made out of the NIT as well? Because with the NIT, certainly we haven't seen the craziness that we've seen with the NCAA tournament, but we have seen quite a few favorites out there in the NIT be able to cash free, unless if your name is Wake Forest. And that has been something interesting to take a look at as well, because it does feel like, once again, some of these smaller schools, some of these schools that they just haven't been able to be on the big stage in quite some time, I feel like motivation has been very real for them.
Yeah, and it's interesting because Ohio State, with the whole Jake Diebler thing and giving him the full-time coaching job, I think they're highly motivated by that. Also in my area, VCU, with a couple of solid road wins. The win at Villanova, which made me happy as a guy who does not like Villanova, and then going to South Florida, a team coming off that win over Central Florida. So VCU has had a couple of solid wins on the road. Now, will that continue? I don't necessarily know where they're going to go for their next game. Maybe they're home, which would be tremendous. I'd love to go to one more VCU game this season, but to see the Rams playing as well as we thought they would play. Remember, the Utah State kids, they've been through this stuff. And as I said, once that kind of the disappointment of the first game wears off, then you're trying to legitimately win the championship. And you know, this year you're going to Butler's campus instead of Vegas, or instead of Madison Square Garden, or instead of Brooklyn, or anything like that. So it's not as prestigious, but still, you want an NIT championship, because I think the NIT launches you very nicely into the next season.
I agree with you, and I do think that there's a lot for these kids to be able to build around. I'm not sure if it's really something that you take into account with regards to your off-season work, but I've always taken a look at these teams that they make a little bit of a run in the NIT, or even in that case, the CBI as well, like we saw with Eastern Kentucky. They had that nice CBI run. They came up short in terms of their conference tournament, but in conference this season, they were a very solid team. And I do think that there's a lot to be gathered, for one, in terms of making money in these smaller tournaments, and for two, being able to get a little bit of a head start in terms of taking a look forward to next year as well.
You're less likely to get your roster poached, obviously, because these kids are still playing. Now, that's not to say the day after this thing's over, they're not going to enter the portal anyway. But I've always said, you know, the year that VCU made the, and I got to make sure I got this right, the year they made their first four to Final Four run, the year before, and I'm going to get this confused, it was either the CBI or the CIT, they went and made a very deep run. And a lot of the players said it was that run last year that helped them propel into next year when they made the historic run. If you have the right coach to motivate your kids, then I think these tremendous things. The CBI, you get a week down in Daytona Beach. That's tremendous nowadays. I'm sure the weather is lovely down there. And then the CIT, obviously with their really weird bracket and everything, you know, there's more opportunities to play. And if your team is close enough, they're just going to enjoy playing with each other.
Yeah, absolutely. And I would like to see the CIT maybe get some stuff figured out there, as we had Norfolk State get, I believe, a bye into the Final Four. So let's try to get that a little bit more balanced. But that said, just being able to play a few, little bit more basketball, and the added practices as well. We always talk about these teams that they get their foreign tours during the summertime. These added practices, they very are meaningful. So I do like that approach there as well. Joining me on the show, we do have Matt Josephs, better known as Mid-Major Matt, right here on Coast to Coast Hoops. And I do want to get your thoughts on a few other games that we're going to be seeing on Thursday and Friday as well. So we do have some intriguing ones, as the one that really stands out to me is this Creighton versus Tennessee game, because I take a look at Tennessee being about a 2.5-point favorite in a lot of spots. Wouldn't be surprised if this moves to 3. And I do like Tennessee in this spot. Fully recognize that Rick Barnes has come up short in March time and time again. But I just look at this Creighton team, and I do think that at some point the depth issues, they're going to wear on them. I was a little bit surprised that they didn't in that double overtime game, but they were essentially playing 2-on-5 in that one, so they actually had the depth advantage when you're playing 2-on-5. But I want to hear your thoughts on this game, because with Creighton, I think that they're really going to have a tough time being able to make shots against this very tough Tennessee defense.
It's so tough to handicap Creighton, because you know early, if Creighton's hitting their threes, they're going to win the game. Like, they're so reliant on the three-pointer. And I know that it makes things interesting, you know, when it comes to handicapping, because you can't predict the future. We don't have Gray's Almanac or anything like that. So it's hard to say, like, but if you told me, like, Creighton has 8 threes, I think they're probably in the game against Tennessee. Here's the interesting thing about Tennessee with regards to their defense. Yes, their defense is really good. They're 29th in three-point percentage defense, but they are allowing over almost 42% of the opponent's shots that come from three-point land. So it'll be interesting if Creighton's hoisting up all these threes because that's what they want to do, and Tennessee's allowing them. Granted, a lot of them will probably be defended. Will Creighton find more success that way? Like, you know, that was the interesting, going back for a second to that first round matchup between Gonzaga and McNeese State. You look at McNeese State, and McNeese State gives up a ton of three-point attempts. Well, Gonzaga was hitting them early. That changed all the game plan for Will Wade, and so that's why Gonzaga ran away and hid. Well, here's Tennessee, 41.5% of the opponent's shots come from three-point land. Granted, the defense will be tougher, but if Creighton's getting the shots they want, that's going to make Tennessee have to adjust some things, and then you're playing into Creighton. So it's a really tough game to figure out, but the tipping point for me is, as you just mentioned, I don't trust Rick Barnes still. I just don't trust Rick Barnes. Coach McDermott, he's done pretty good with Creighton. He's got a bunch of kids that he really likes, and he's got a good roster and everything. So I lean to Creighton a little bit, but of course, if they're cold early, there will be a live bet coming on Tennessee.
Yep, and I do think that when it comes to this one, whoever wins this game, I could see them winning by much, much more than the 2.5 to 3 point spread that we're seeing right now. I could see this being a double figure win either way as well. So I think that that's something to take note of. And then I do want to get your thoughts here as well, because I always get curious with regards to just a sort of clashing styles. And we've got that in Illinois versus Iowa State. Iowa State does a great job being able to generate turnovers. Illinois, they don't generate a lot of turnovers, but they've been incredible on offense. As a matter of fact, the most efficient offense away from home in all of college basketball. What do you make out of this one with Iowa State opening up as a small size favorite in this one?
Well, so once again, this comes down to the turnover factor you just mentioned. Iowa State forces a ton of turnovers. Illinois is in the top 60 in terms of not turning the ball over. If Illinois is able to run their offense, they're going to score on almost anybody, it feels like. But if Illinois kind of hits a slow part, can their defense help them? And I have really not liked Illinois' defense very much. And it's funny because you look at Iowa State and it's the sum of the parts really with regards to them. Like, they don't have a true superstar. They have several good players, but it feels like the roster as a whole is what carries them through these games. So it comes down to Illinois, who's very deep with scorers, against an Iowa State team that potentially needs everybody to score. I would probably do a slight lean to Illinois here, slight lean to Illinois. It really comes down to early on, can Illinois run their offense and can they get stops? Because Iowa State's offense at times isn't exactly the best one out there.
Yeah, absolutely. With regards to both of these teams, it's just so interesting. Iowa State always firing all cylinders on defense. Illinois firing all cylinders on offense. Good old situation of something's got to give. And then, Matt, I was alluding to it a little bit before. We do have a lot of the lesser tournaments that are going to be coming up the next few days. We've got a CIT game on Monday. We've got the Elite Eight with the CBI. And then we've got the next few days, the NIT, that's going to be taking center stage as well. Any of these games that we have yet to hit that you're going to be taking a look at, whether it be from a betting perspective or it's just maybe a game in general that you want to see a little bit more of for a team that you might be preparing for like their final four run in the NIT and or just next year in general?
I mean, how do we not talk about the fact that Chicago State was off for over a month? They hadn't played a Division I opponent in over a month because their last game was against Indiana Northwest. They lost that game at Eastern Kentucky on February 14th and took on a very good UC San Diego team that would have probably made the tournament maybe if they would have won the Big West. Obviously, they weren't eligible. And so they were probably really excited to get back on the court themselves. And Chicago State beat them as a pretty healthy underdog. And so, listen, this is the beauty and the insane factor of these postseason tournaments. Because you look at this team, it's just they hadn't played for over a month and they went out and beat UC San Diego. So this is why I love the postseason, because things like this happen. But I'm so happy we get to see Chicago State and Wesley Cardet one more time.
Absolutely. And for Chicago State, they're going to be in the NEC next season. And they're going to be a good team out there in the NEC as well. I think that they've got a shot to really be able to make a little bit of havoc in that conference. So that's going to be nice to see. And what's always nice to see is you on this podcast, Matt. You do a tremendous job taking a look at this great game that we all know and love of college basketball, getting ramped up for what is going to be a great baseball season as well. So love to give people at home know what's on tap for you and how people can follow along on social media and other platforms.
Yeah, at Mid-Major Matt is where you can find me, ftmbets.com as well. Certainly looking forward to opening day. Love betting the K-props and everything involving the pitcher props. So looking forward to that. Of course, still some March Madness left to go, and we're looking forward to the Sweet 16 starting next week. And, of course, we always appreciate the work you do as well because your spreadsheets are highly useful and certainly something that I use when I take a look at all the games coming up ahead. Follow me at Mid-Major Matt. Always interested to answer the questions that maybe Greg can't answer.
And now is that sort of crossover time where you get a few days of baseball bleeding into the Sweet 16, Elite Eight, and Final Four games in college basketball. It is a tremendous time of year, and it's always tremendous to get Matt aboard, who does such a great job taking a look at both of these great games. So a big thanks to Matt for joining me on Cause it's now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. And coming up next, it's a small slate, but a fun slate of college basketball for this Monday. I give you picks and analysis on every one of them as we hit some bets.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't me?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think. He's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't me.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Are you tired of your scented cleaning products smelling and cleaning like meh? Then it's time for an upgrade with the power of Clorox Scentiva. With an uplifting scent that smells like coconut, Clorox Scentiva gives you powerful clean like Clorox, but a feeling like being transported to a tropical island retreat. Imagine putting your phone on Do Not Disturb, tuning out all the constant... Just the feeling of warm sand in between your toes and a fruity drink in your hand. The ones with the little umbrella. Refresh your home to feel like an all-inclusive vacation by getting Clorox Scentiva. Also available in grapefruit and lavender scents at a nearby retail store.
And we're back here, lovely Las Vegas, for Cusco Soups with myself, Greg Oops Peterson, now part of the Beeson Family Podcast. Always great to be joined by Matt Josephs, better known as Mid Major Matt, taking a look at this great game of college basketball that we all know and love. Every single time he joins the show, he always helps make us just a little bit smarter, and he, much like myself, not just paying attention to the NCAA tournament, but these smaller tournaments as well, and his efforts always appreciated. A big thanks to Matt for joining me in the last segment. Now it is that time of the podcast to give you picks and analysis on all five games on the betting board for this College Basketball Monday as we hit some bank shots.
Most financial establishments close at a certain time, but not here. It is time for a side and total on every game on today's betting board bank shots.
Do note that, as per usual, any changes that are made to these plays will be listed up on my Twitter/X feed at GNR41. We're going to be going down the list with the four games in the CBI and then the CIT, that one game between Fort Wayne and Tarleton State, and is going to be at the bottom. So how about if we get things tipped off with Cleveland State versus High Point, 601, 602 on the card, and all four of these CBI games happening out there in the Ocean Center at Daytona Beach, Florida. Cleveland State, a 4.5-point underdog. Total on this game, it is 155, and I did set High Point as a 6.5-point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay the number. I think that it is key that High Point got the lone bye in this tournament, so you can look at it as Cleveland State has been able to get all lathered up. They've been able to get a game under their belt, but also with High Point, with them being a team that plays a little bit more up-tempo and a team that is very efficient with their offense. Top 30 team, turns points scored on a per-possession basis. I do think that that's big for them. Going up against a Cleveland State team that is very much more defense-oriented. Cleveland State has been one of the top teams in all of college basketball in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis, a top 75 team with that regard. And for Cleveland State, the big kicker for them, this has been one of the best three-point shooting defenses that you're able to find in all of college basketball. Opponents against Cleveland State, they are shooting less than 30.5% from three-point range overall. They're clocking in the top 20 in all of college basketball, with opponents in a roadside shoot career environment shooting right around about 31.7% against them, 29% when they're at home. But they also now have to go up against a High Point team that has been tremendous on the glass. They're a top 20 team with regards to overall rebound rate, and they rebound about 36.6% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. That ranks 7th in all of college basketball. And here's a shocker, Cleveland State, they are not doing that. Cleveland State, in terms of their offensive rebound rate, they are actually still very solid. They're 28th in the country. They really struggle, though, on the defensive glass. Cleveland State is going to allow you to get second and third chances, and that's where High Point is going to be able to best them. This High Point team, they've got Jocelyn Bodu-Bodu, who's been able to give you about 7 rebounds per game. Kamani Lawrence has been able to do a solid job down low as well. And then you take a look at them in terms of their defensive rebound rate. Doesn't quite compare to the offense, but still 21st in all of college basketball, so not too much of a drop-off there. Meanwhile, for Cleveland State, 350th. They allow opponents to grab 33% of their missed shots as an offensive rebound. For Cleveland State, they're really going to need to get Tristan and Aruna going. 20 points, 6 half boards, 3 assists has really been the ringleader for the team. But you've got a Cleveland State team that has each of their top 3 scorers shooting below 32.5% from 3-point. Jay Williams, Drew Lauder, these guys would have made some noise. They combined for about 24.5 points per contest. But that's going to be an issue going up against an High Point team, of which if you're going to beat them, you're going to need to hit their shots. As for High Point, they're outside the top 200 with regards to points allowed on a per-possession basis, and they are quite vulnerable when guarding the perimeter. Opponents against them in a roadside shoot court setting do shoot 35.5% from 3-point, so that puts them a little bit behind the 8-ball. Credit to Cleveland State, they don't do a bad job at all being able to hold on to the ball. They only turn the ball over about 10.5 times per contest, but also have a High Point team that is very efficient in terms of their backcourt in offense as well. You've got Duke Miles, Keza Gifa, these guys, they've been able to combine for about 33.5 points per contest between the two of them, 6.5 assists. Miles shoots 37.5% from 3, and High Point, they shoot about 35% from 3-point as a collective. They get a lot of their buckets through second and third chances, and I do think that this High Point team just going to be able to overwhelm Cleveland State on the glass. Cleveland State is going to find a way to get second chances, but with just their bad defensive rebounding, that's going to allow High Point to be able to dominate the boards and dominate the game. I did set my total 154.5. This is going to be an early game, 9 o'clock a.m. Pacific, noon Eastern. So I do think that that's going to bog down the scoring a little bit. I like the under, and I'm going to be one to lay with High Point. 603, 604 on the betting board. Arkansas State and Montana do battle from the Ocean Center, and Arkansas State is a 2.5-point favorite. Total on this game between 158 and 158.5. Did set my total 156.5. I'm going to be looking at the under. For one, you've got a Montana team that's about 300th in all of college basketball in terms of total possessions per game. And two, you've got an Arkansas State team that averages darn near 18 points fewer per 100 possessions away from home rather than at home on offense. And for Arkansas State, entering into yesterday, they were shooting 42.3% from 3-point at home, 29.9% in a road/neutral-court setting. That is not great, to say the least. They go up against a Montana team that they do experience a drop-off with their offense as well. They shoot 36.8% from 3-point at home, 35.1% in a road/neutral-court setting, but the drop-off far less with them. And Montana, 34th in all of college basketball in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis. Again, they're scoring about 9 points fewer per 100 possessions away from home rather than at home, and it becomes a question of which team can play a little bit better on defense, as Arkansas State actually gives up fewer points per possession away from home rather than at home. At home, they allow opponents to shoot 40.6% from three-point, 32.4% away from home, which is actually relatively respectable. Meanwhile, Montana, they allow opponents to shoot 32% from three-point at home, 37% in a road or neutral court setting. With Montana, you've got a little bit more size down low, as you've got Laval, okay, who's been able to do a solid job being okay with about 7 or so rebounds per game. I like what Aiden Moody brings to the table. He's been able to supply this team with about 16.5 points per game. And for Arkansas State, they really don't have anyone that gives you north of 12.5 points per contest. But Caleb Fields, Taron Todd, these two guys have been able to combine for about 25 points. Neither of them shoot it amazing from three. Your best three-point shooter is actually Dominic Ford. He shoots 37.5% from the outside, 10.5 points per contest. But you get relatively good overall versatility with the team, and an Arkansas State team that does a nice job not turning it over. About 11.5 turnovers per game. Outside of OK, you've got Deshaun Thomas for this Montana team, giving you about 12.5.5 boards, shoots 40.5% from three-point, so relatively good versatility there for a Montana team that they only turn the ball over about 10 times per contest. But you take a look at this Arkansas State team, and you've got guys that are able to do a nice job hitting the glass. DeAndre Dominguez, along with Isaiah Nelson, have been able to combine for 13.5 rebounds per game. Ford, who I mentioned before, is able to give you about 4.5 boards per contest. And Freddie X, he's just a stat sheet suffer. 12 points, 5.5 boards, 2 assists per contest. I do think that that overall rebounding prowess is going to be big in this game. It's a Montana team that they're about average in all of college basketball with regards to rebound rate. They're not great, they're not terrible, but Arkansas State, they're 80th on the glass. It's been able to travel relatively well, and with Arkansas State, even though they are a bunch that's outside the top 250 in terms of points allowed on a per possession basis, the fact that they guard better away from home rather than at home, I think it's going to be big in this setting. And I do think that with Montana playing so slowly with regards to their total amount of possessions per game, it is going to allow you to be able to get an under in this spot as well. So Arkansas State is a 2.5 point favorite. I've been seeing a few twos out there. If we can get back down to a 2-1 lay with Arkansas State, anything of 3+, going to be willing to take those points with Montana. And then did somebody total 156.5, so you're at the 158 to 158.5. I like the under. 6-5, 6-6 on the betting board. Chicago State and Fairfield do battle, with Fairfield a 4.5 point favorite. Total on this game, it is 144 to 144.5. I did set Fairfield as an 8-point favorite. This is an awesome opportunity for Chicago State, and Chicago State has already defied the odds by being able to get here. I just think that they are going to run out of gas here, and I'm willing to lay it with Fairfield. This is going to be Chicago State's second game against a D1 team in 5 weeks, so they're up against it. You've got Jasper Floyd, who's been just so versatile for the Fairfield team. 9.6 boards, 4 assists, 2.5 steals per contest, and I mean, we could talk up the motivational angle for Chicago State all we want. This is a Fairfield team that canned their coach in Jay Young like 3 weeks before the start of the season. And you know that these guys are fired up for the guys that are around them right now. You've gotten Alexis Yetna back the fold, someone who's been in college basketball for about 500 years, began his career out in the great state of Florida over at South Florida. He's been able to give the team a little bit more pop down low at 13.8 rebounds in that win against Little Rock, and has now been able to supply the team with at least 8 rebounds in 4 out of their last 5 games. So he's able to give them a little bit more down low that you're just not going to be able to get with Chicago State. Chicago State has been very good in terms of generating turnovers, in terms of turnovers forced on a per possession basis, a top 50 team in all of college basketball, but 303rd in the country with regards to rebound rate, and that's what Fairfield was lacking as well. Coming into this tournament, Fairfield 262nd in the country in terms of their rebound rate, but Alexis Yetna has only played like 12 games this season, so him being back in the fold is big against a Chicago State team that has one guy on the roster that gives you a north of 4.6 rebounds per game. Deshaun Corbett, 15.5 points, 7.5 boards, and Wesley Cardett might be the best overall scorer in this game. 18.5 points, 4.5 boards, shoots 34.5% from 3-point range, but they have to go up against a Fairfield team that has really done a nice job of being able to stroke it from the outside, especially when this Fairfield team has been away from home. Going into this tournament, Fairfield about 100th in all of college basketball in terms of points scored on a per possession basis, and in terms of their overall 3-point shooting percentage, it's a good but not great number coming into the tournament. They were shooting as a collective about 39th in the country in terms of 3-point shooting percentage, but north of 36% in a roadside neutral court setting, with Bryson Goodine shooting north of 46% from 3, able to supply the team with about 14 points per contest. And for Fairfield, only turn the ball over about 10.5 times per contest, while they themselves are a top 75 team with regards to turnovers forced on a per possession basis. And this being a Fairfield team that has done a nice job with their defense as well. Going into yesterday, they had given up 68 points of fear here for their last five games. Got a Chicago State team that, to their credit, they've now been able to break the 70-point plateau in three out of their last four games. So a little bit of a situation, something you got to give. I did set my line at 8. I'm going to be willing to lay it with Fairfield. And did set my total at 144. I'm seeing a 144.5 out there. We'll be willing to take the 144.5 under to go along Fairfield. 6-7, 6-8 on the betting board. Seattle is going to be playing against Evansville. Evansville's an underdog of 7.5 points on this game between 140 and 140.5. This is the last CBI game, by the way. And I made Seattle the 10-point favorite. I'm going to be willing to lay it. Seattle, a top 25 team in the country, turns the points a lot on a per-possession basis, and Evansville, they are anything but that. Though I will say for Evansville, they've got a nice top-flight scorer in Ben Humoricus, who's giving you 14.5 points per contest, shooting north of 40% from three-point range, but you got two problems for that. One, Cam Tyson on the flip side is able to give you 17-plus points per contest. He's able to take over a game, giving you five boards, shoots the ball from three, and Humoricus was not out there on the floor for Evansville yesterday, and he figures to not be back in the fold for them once again today. So that is going to be very much weighing on this Evansville team and will leave them outgunned. They've had their struggles when they've been away from home. Evansville, they shoot 38.5% from three-point range at home. That drives all the way down to about 30.5% in a road-slash-neutral-court setting. Now Seattle has their offensive woes as well. Seattle, in terms of points scored on a per-possession basis, 187th in all of college basketball, but they've actually averaged more points per possession when they've been away from home rather than when they have been at home. Evansville, meanwhile, they take a dip of about 7 points per 100 possessions when they're away from home rather than when they are at home, and they just aren't going to be able to hold up on the defensive end, in my opinion. This Evansville team, 236th in all of college basketball in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. You got Yasan Toumi, who's able to give you 6.5 rebounds per game, and that's it. Nobody else gives you north of 4.7 boards per contest. Meanwhile, for Seattle, good balance rebounding on this team. Kobe Williams, Brandon Field, they've been able to combine for about 11.5 boards. They both give you a little bit down low, as well as these two guys combined for 2.5 blocks per game. Jason Christofilius has been able to give you 13 points on 41.5% three-point shooting for a Seattle team that you'd like to see them be able to tame the turnovers a little bit. 12.8 turnovers per contest, but they do go up against an Evansville team that really doesn't come up with a lot of steals or anything like that. Only about 6.5 per contest. Like Kenny Strawbridge, 10 points, 4 boards, 2.5 assists, 1.5 steals per contest. So a nice edge you'd suffer, but that said, you've got a lot of guys that are just rudderless pieces that are just trying to find their way, like Joshua Hughes, who does shoot about 37.5 to 38.5% from three-point range, but only supplies the team with about 6.5 points per contest. I do think that Seattle going to be able to do a nice job down low, winning that battle against an Evansville team that, in terms of their rebound rate, they're clocking in 274th in all of college basketball. Meanwhile, you've got a Seattle team that they're checking in 62nd, so going to be willing to lay the numbers. And did set my total at a 142. I do think that Evansville just gives up their fair share of points. So looking at the over and going to be willing to lay with Seattle. And now we have my DK Network write-up pick. The reason why this is a DK Network write-up pick is because when I wrote this up in the afternoon, this was the lone game that was on the board, 883-884. It's Fort Wayne, and they're playing a true road game on the road against Tarleton State. Tarleton State, a 5.5 point favorite total on this game. It is 152, and I did make my line 4.5. I'm going to be willing to take the 5.5 with Fort Wayne, but right up here is going to be on this total under. I did set my total at 148.5. This despite the fact that you do have a pretty up-tempo Fort Wayne team. Fort Wayne, they are 37th in the country in terms of total possessions per game. Meanwhile, you've got a bunch here in Tarleton State that they're clocking in more around 247th in all of college basketball, but this Fort Wayne team is actually really good in terms of their defense away from home. They clock in terms of road points allowed on a per-possession basis, 44th in all of college basketball. Tarleton State, overall 129th in terms of points allowed on a per-possession basis. That said, you do have a bunch that gives up about 7 points fewer per 100 possessions when they're at home, but you also have a pair of teams that they do a very nice job of generating turnovers, which is going to lead to a lot of dead possessions. Fort Wayne, they are generating a turnover on darn near 20% of possessions away from home, 12th in the country in terms of turnovers forced on a per-possession basis. Tarleton State, they are 36th in the country with this regard. And for Tarleton State, you've got some relatively nice balanced scoring. You've got a quartet of different guys that give you at least 12 points per contest. Skip to my Lou Williams, Devin Barnes, Keandre Gaddy. All these guys give between 12 and 13 points per contest. Gaddy has been able to give you about 6.5 rebounds per game. And Emmanuel Innocenti has been able to give you about 6.5 boards per contest as well. These are really the lone two guys on the roster, though, that give you north of 4.5 rebounds per game for a bunch of, they only shoot about 32.5% from 3 point range outside the top 225 in all of college basketball. Meanwhile, this Fort Wayne team, they shoot away from home 36.9% from 3. That ranks 30th in all of college college basketball, but neither of these teams are going to be able to generate a lot of second chances. Tarleton State has a little bit more of an advantage on the glass in terms of their home offensive rebound rate. They rebound 27.6% of their misses, as 177th nationally. Meanwhile, Fort Wayne, 336th with regards to their offensive rebound rate. They only grab a miss on about 21% of their misses, with Eric Mulder being able to give you 7 boards, 6 points per contest. And the only other guy that gives you north of 4.6 rebounds per game, Andre 3000 Roberts. He and Jalen Jackson have been able to combine for about 29.5 points per game. And Jackson shoots 42% from 3-point range. They both have been able to generate some turnovers, though, between the two of them, about 3.4 steals per contest. And as a matter of fact, for this Fort Wayne team, each of your top four scores give you at least 1.4 steals per game. And a big difference for Fort Wayne this year as opposed to last year is that they aren't turning it over themselves. They've always had turnover issues, but bringing in Rasheed Bello, the gentleman from D2 UW Parkside, the lone Division II university out there in the great state of Wisconsin, has been big. 15 points, 4 assists, 1.8 steals per contest. Shoots about 33% from 3. At least a little bit of something to be desired there. But I do think that Fort Wayne going to be able to win this game. But I do think that things are going to be a little bit bogged down. They're going to be a little bit more slow. These are two teams that have been quite efficient with their defense. You've got a Tarleton State team that has now allowed 71 points of fear for the last 5 games. And for Fort Wayne, it's been a little bit up and down. But in regulation, they have given up 75 points of fear in really each of their last 5 games. That's even with going up against the likes of Wright State, what have you. So I do think that this is going to be a bit of a lower scoring affair and one where you're going to get a lot of dead possession. So my write-up pick is on the under, and I'm going to be willing to take the points with Fort Wayne. And that wraps things up for the Monday edition of Coast to Coast Heaps, now part of the VSiN Family of Podcasts. A big thanks to Matt Joseph, better known as Mid-Major Matt, for joining me in the last segment. If you do like hearing from this fine podcast, Coast to Coast Heaps, you're able to subscribe wherever your podcast, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Spotify, Stitcher, and TuneIn. If you have a question, comment, segment idea, what have you for this podcast, you have one of two ways we offer those in. First one is my Twitter /XIMLion at @GNN_1. Keep in mind, letters M, they mean does not matter. So as per usual, please just send these into the timeline. And the other way is find an Apple Podcast review. If you rate this podcast as ours, it is very much appreciated. And then from there, you're able to fire in whatever you'd like to hear on this podcast via that 5-star review coming at you guys every single day throughout the college basketball season. That means I'm coming at you once again tomorrow. Thank you so much for tuning in.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cb for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah! And some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that!
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in!
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it!
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby!
Wait! Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.